There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, Wim Liu. This episode, along with every episode this season, is brought to you by KFC. So, I'm recapping the Toronto Raptors 121-110 overtime loss to the Miami Heat. And, I mean, first off, like, losses are going to happen. You know, they're not going to go 15-4 all season. The Heat are a very, very good team. They were just a half game behind the Raptors before this game, and now they're ahead of the Raptors. They're a very competent team. They came in, played a great game plan, and really took the Raptors out of their strategies. And so you got to tip your hat to, well, I mean, especially Eric Spoelstra, of all people, really. He's definitely one of the best coaches in the NBA. I've already said that, you know, Nick Nurse is one of the contenders for Coach of the Year, but if it's not him, it should go to someone like Eric Spoelstra or maybe even Brad Stevens, but especially Spoelstra. Like, he's just... he's got this team really well coached and really well prepared, and it's almost similar to the Raptors in a way, where the talent doesn't necessarily explain the whole of the results. Really, you know, the coaching really does make a big difference in this game, and I'll explain that in a second. But, you know, going back to this game, look, I think people are upset, people are sad. It's definitely frustrating to play the Heat. It was frustrating to play the Heat last year. Like, if the Raptors didn't hit that game winner on the road, they might have lost that game. You know, the Heat are just a very tough team, and they added Jimmy Butler. They lost Hassan Whiteside. I really do miss the days when Hassan Whiteside used to play for this team. And you know, it's just, it's a tough, tough, tough team to play. And of course, losing in overtime is going to have people raw. But I think ultimately what is making people upset, I think, is actually kind of rational in the sense that, you know, this is just a frustrating game, period. Like, when you have Kyle Lowry coming back from injury, and it's great that Kyle Lowry is back, but the man shot 2 of 18 from the field, including 0 of 11 from 3. Now, granted, some of those 11 three-point attempts that he missed, I mean, some of those are just heaves in overtimes and whatever. Sometimes you're down by 8 points. You know, you just need to jack up some threes, apparently, and they weren't great shots. But overall, like, I just, you know, when you see a guy shoot 2 of 18 from the field and 0 of 11 from 3, people are going to be upset. And, of course, when you see Pascal Siakam shrink from the spotlight in a game where it really demanded that he would go toe-to-toe with someone like Jimmy Butler, and that just never happened, I think that actually is the more frustrating thing to watch. Because at least with Kyle, you understand that he's rusty. You understand that it's his first game back. He's got a fracture in his hand. I'm pretty sure the fracture isn't fully healed. He kind of said at practice on Monday that the fracture is still there in his hand, so I don't know if you can fully expect him to be lights out from the field. It would be a little strange, so at least that's understandable. It's out of rhythm, and I'll explain how Kyle sort of put the rest of the team out of rhythm in a bit. But really the thing that is frustrating is that Pascal Siakam shrink from the spotlight. And you know, I'm not saying that this is a pattern, and I really hope it doesn't become a pattern. I think Pascal has stepped up in big games before. We've literally seen him put up 26 and 10 or 12 in game 6 of the finals, and 32 points in the finals. And he's had big games before. He's had big games this season against tough teams. So I don't think it's fair to say that it's a pattern. But, I mean, like today, he definitely didn't play with the type of assertiveness and importance that a game like this demanded. Like, you know, when you have on one end Jimmy Butler giving you 8 straight points to start overtime to basically call and seal the game, when you see Butler score 8 straight points over an overtime, and the fact that Butler finishes with 22 points, 13 rebounds, and 12 assists, meanwhile you got on the other end Pascal Siakam, he wasn't even involved in the offense, really. Like, early in the game, Pascal got a couple of jumpers, you know, that he has space to shoot. I mean, he's always got space to shoot. Teams are going to play him to, you know, drive because they know he's dangerous there. But, I mean, like, okay, so he missed some jumpers at the beginning. Some of them were jumpers where it was honestly, some of those were jumpers where he just didn't want to attack Bam Adebayo. It didn't really seem like he was assertive and definitely didn't want to go at that matchup with Bam. And it just felt like he never got into a rhythm and he never really wanted to get back into the game. I mean, it got to the point where in the fourth quarter, there's a play where Pascal had, I believe, Kelly Olynyk on him. And in most situations, you would just expect Pascal to demand the ball, put his hand up, get into post position, you know, call for his point guards to get the ball in the post, and for him to just attack, for him to just attack that matchup, because it's a mismatch. Straight up, it's a mismatch. But he just didn't. Like, he literally just, like, let the play go on, and he just waited in the corner and spaced and didn't want to be involved. And that's what you don't want to see from your leading guy. Like, no matter how bad of a game you're having, like, look at Kyle. Even a game where he's shooting 2 of 18, he's still at least trying to get his offense in there. He's still trying to make something happen. And most of the times, let's be honest, Kyle wasn't making anything happen. He was missing a lot of shots tonight. But at the same time, the desire, the drive was there. And with Pascal, it just didn't really feel that way. It felt like he saw a really tough matchup. And it's not tougher than, like, something he hasn't seen before. Like, it's not tougher than Joel Embiid in the playoffs or Giannis. Or even Jonathan Isaac. I feel like Bam is not necessarily, well, maybe he's on par with Jonathan Isaac, but I mean, still, like, it's not like an impossible. It's not even Draymond. You know what I mean? Like, and Pascal did a lot of things to Draymond in the finals. So I don't know. Maybe it was an off night. Maybe he just wasn't feeling it. I don't understand. But realistically, you cannot expect to win a game like this against a very, very good team in the Heat when your best guy, when your leading man, just shrinks from the role. He just can't. He can't shrink. Like, and you know, that's something that I don't know if Pascal has to learn or the mentality that he's got to get into. But, like, literally, you're having a bad night. It doesn't matter. You still got to be involved. You just got to create for others. And really, down the stretch, there were no signs of Pascal. There were no signs. There's, like, occasional transition baskets. But really, the guys who had it going late in the game, you know, Serge Ibaka, you know, created a couple things to start the fourth quarter there. And then Norman Powell really stepped up. And he actually got a chance to close out the game. And he hit some two big threes that almost allowed the Raptors to steal this game in regulation. But, you know, Pascal wasn't there. And the one time Pascal did get the ball, where the Raptors identified they had a mismatch on him, he had Derrick Jones Jr. on him, who's very skinny. He's long, but, you know, he's skinny. And Pascal did go to work, try to post him up. He saw help at the rim, kind of got smothered. I'm here at the arena, so I didn't get to see a replay of that. I don't know if people at home saw a replay of the play and whether or not there was a foul on the play. It looked to me like there was contact, but also at the same time, you know, it looked to me like just good defense and Pascal just spinning into traffic and not being able to get the shot off. And really, I don't want to even complain about the referees when the Raptors shot 36 free throws and Miami shot 21. Like, I don't know, man, how much more help could you possibly really expect realistically? You know what I mean? So I just thought Pascal wasn't involved. And when you look at the final box score, 5 of 14 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3. He got 12 rebounds. That's nice. And it is nice. Like, Miami did have a present a problem in terms of their offensive rebounding. You know, Jimmy Butler crashing in there for a couple of rebounds and putbacks. Adebayo, you know, creating some second chance opportunities. Winslow and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, Pascal did at least contribute on the defensive glass. That's big. But also only one assist. And, you know, he played 39 minutes, 14 field goals, and only one assist against two turnovers. That's just not going to cut it. That's straight up not going to cut it. And Pascal just has to be better. He needs to find a way to stay involved. And it's a little harder when you know, you're not necessarily a pure wing player in that way where you have to, like, create your offense and have some of it created for you. And I don't think the Raptors, you know, just in terms of their execution offensively, it wasn't smooth all around. And that speaks more to Kyle, which I'll talk about in just a second. But, you know, it's just ultimately you're the leading guy. It falls down to you. And if you score 15 points in 39 minutes on 5 of 14 shooting and only have one assist, Raptors aren't going to win most of those games, especially not against elite teams. And at the Heat are borderline elite, I would say. They're 15-5. Okay. But, you know, still, like, even against these really good teams, Pascal can't be this quiet. So that was disappointing. Kyle, obviously, coming back from injury, that was disappointing. You know, whatever. You expect him to be out of rhythm. 2 of 18 is bad. The one thing with Kyle is that at least he still made plays happen. Like, he had 11 assists, although that's part of a reflection of him having the ball a lot. Like, I think the Heat really did try to encourage Kyle to just like, attack. They didn't really make a point of shutting down Kyle in the way they did with Fred. You know, they put bigger defenders on him at times. But for the most part, you know, Kyle's able to at least turn a corner, at least have an attempt to make something happen. A lot of those shots didn't fall. But, you know, Kyle, you got to give him credit. Like, he still has 11 assists. He still gets the free throw line 8 times. Some of those, I got to say, were quite generous that he got free throws on. But, hey, you know, when you're an NBA champion and a 5-time All-Star and it's your home court, you should get some respect. And he definitely got that. And he got some rebounds. He took a charge late, you know, got a steal, got a block, whatever. Like, Kyle Lowry is going to be involved in 41 minutes. We know that. Having said that, the issue with Kyle in this game, really, for me, was that, like, okay, he was rusty, but it felt very much like he was going to force the issue no matter what happened. And I know it's like a little hypocritical to, like, you know, criticize Pascal for not being involved enough and shying from the moment, and then knocking Kyle for being too aggressive. But at the same time, as a point guard, if you're going to basically make these daredevil plays and sort of force things to happen and it doesn't work, usually your transition defense is compromised. You're going the other way, and it's I don't know. It's just a tough look. It's just a tough look when you shoot 2 of 18. It just is. A lot of times Kyle's barreling the traffic, getting blocked. You know, it just didn't really have a plan there. And really, honestly, it wasn't even so much of the way Kyle executed. Because we know Kyle's a gambler. Like, that's what he does. Like, he's a very good player. He's able to do a lot of things on the floor. But at the same time, one of the things that makes him really effective is that he's a smart gambler. He makes opportunities happen because he will step in, for example, as the third defender on a trap along the half court line and take a charge. You know, that's something that only Kyle will make that kind of play because he's gambling completely out of position. But, you know, Kyle comes up with he wins a lot of those bets, so you let him do it. Having said that, though, it felt very much tonight like when Kyle was running the offense that he was, for the most part, just trying to gamble and make things happen and force the issue and force referees to bail him out and call him fouls. And, you know, that's just not a great time. This is not a great way for the offense to run. Now, granted, the Heat played great defense, great, great defense against both Pascal and, you know, and the rest of the team. And so someone needed to, like, I don't know, at least create some sort of commotion. But I don't know. To me, it was a little jarring to watch Kyle force the offense when, in the last couple of weeks when he's been out, the Raptors have actually run a team system, and it's worked quite well. You know, I thought Gasol had a lot more of the ball in his hands. He definitely made a lot more control and decisions happen. And, you know, I'm not saying that the offense should run through Gasol all the time. I'm just saying that, like, you know, there was definitely a good thing happening there with Gasol, who would routinely get 9 assists or, you know, 5 assists, 6 assists. You know, just moving the ball from side to side, creating pick and rolls, and just making the offense sort of function as a team. And today it felt very much like Kyle was trying to force it on his own, which, again, this is his first game back, man. I'm not trying to knock him at whatsoever. It was a difficult game. It's a difficult scenario. You want your star to step up. Pascal didn't do that. And so it fell on to Kyle to do something, and he did the best he could in limited circumstances, and the result was 2 of 18. Really, though, the thing that with Kyle that kind of knocked the rest of the team out of rhythm is that you got Norman Powell going back to the bench, which, okay, you know, so he still comes in as the sixth man. He still ends up playing 34 minutes, including almost all of the fourth quarter and definitely all of overtime. But, however, you know, there's an effect there. Like, first off, Norm has to get his offense off the bench. And today he was very good, like really, really good, 23 points in 34 minutes for Norman Powell. It's nice to see him maintain his rhythm. But the downside is that a guy like OG Anunoby suddenly isn't closing games and is only playing 21 minutes and really wasn't anywhere to be found in the fourth quarter or overtime. Now, granted, that's Nick Nurse making a call there because he likes Fred and Kyle together, and then Norman Powell was playing well offensively and really carrying the team offensively, and so he played the three. And so at that point, what are you going to do? You're not going to bench Pascal. You're not going to bench Marcus All. So OG just gets a short end of the stick, even though I didn't think OG played poorly. Like, this is a fine game from OG. It's not an exceptional game, but he wasn't involved that much. And his defense, honestly, he did execute the defensive game plan, at least for what Nick Nurse asked for. But that was an effect there. You look around at Hollis Jefferson. He only plays 17 minutes. Terrence Davis still ends up playing 15. Maybe you give, you know, maybe you shave some. There was at least a thought that Terrence Davis wouldn't get any minutes with Kyle and Fred back in. Davis still played a lot more too, which I think helped create opportunities. Now, Davis didn't necessarily score in, like, you know, he was, what, he had 2 points, two free throws in 15 minutes. But, you know, he was still able to I don't know, make some things happen defensively and also had one or two nice passes. I don't know. It wasn't the best 15-minute performance. What I'm trying to say is, though, like, it just felt like the rest of the team was off rhythm. Like, Fred, for example, I thought he was really effective when he was running with the bench unit all of a sudden because, you know, that at that point, Kyle was on the bench and Fred was able to just run the offense. And Fred has run the offense in Kyle's absence with both the starting lineup and with the bench lineup. And so it was nice to see Fred be able to, you know, spark the bench lineup. The Raptors were consistently able to generate comebacks off their bench. The Raptors bench, not necessarily outplay the Heat bench, because the Heat did get some pretty good production from Justice Winslow, who had 17 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists. And also Kelly Olynyk, who had 16 points and 6 rebounds, although Kelly defensively was not there. But, you know, I thought at least Fred, when he ran with the bench, was able to keep the offense going, and they were able to make good plays. And, you know, it's not like Fred couldn't produce as a starter either, but I felt very much more like if he was able to just control the offense generally ran smoother than when it ran through Kyle. And, again, that's just understandable. Kyle just came back from an injury. You know, he's a time off and everything like that. The rest of the team had gelled. The rest of the team had found, you know, chemistry and a rhythm. And so, yeah, naturally, when you bring in a guy to play 41 minutes and take 18 shots, you know, that's going to affect everyone else. And so, you know, I thought it knocked people off their course. But ultimately, these are problems that you could survive and you can weather when Pascal steps up offensively. And I don't think Pascal did that tonight. And then, to my point earlier, when I opened the show by talking about Spo and why he's such a good coach, like, Spo had his team completely prepared and ready for Toronto to trap. The Raptors had actually gotten a lot of press for trapping the opposing superstars. They did it to Kawhi, they did it to LeBron, they did it to Luka, and, you know, they did it to Dame Lillard, and it just became a thing. The Raptors have been shutting down these stars. And even Joel Embiid, part of why he got shut down was because he also got double-teamed real hard. And so Spo had his team ready, and they definitely played like a team that prepared and practiced for the Raptors double-teaming Jimmy Butler and even occasionally Kendrick Nunn. And, you know, they just executed. Like, you look at Butler having 12 assists. A lot of that is just from start to finish, Miami came prepared to play out of those traps. Their bigs were very good at either playing in space and making a play or, you know, swinging the ball and finding the open shooter. But the amount of times guys like, you know, Adebayo got to the rim for a layup, or Myers Leonard popped open for three, or Duncan Robinson popping threes. Like, a lot of that is just the extra attention on Butler and the Heat making quick passes and being positioned well to beat the traps. And that's a good coach. That's what you want to see out of your coach. Because I felt like other coaches, maybe it's because they don't have as much continuity, maybe it's whatever reason, but for the most part, other coaches have not been as prepared for Toronto's traps as Miami has. So you got to, again, tip your hat to Spo. He really had his team ready to execute. And you got to give a lot of credit to Butler as well. He really executed their game plan perfectly. So it was just whatever. It was a tough night. I thought that he kind of just straight up outplayed the Raptors from start to finish. The Raptors had their moments, made a couple of comebacks here and there, but they were just kind of chasing all game, chasing. And it wasn't like Miami popped out to this ridiculous lead. The Raptors did a good job at least of not getting blown out. But at the same time, like, you know, the Raptors never seized control of the game. And even when they did momentarily go ahead or hit a big shot to swing the momentum, Miami would immediately respond with something. And that's just tough. And these nights happen. The Raptors are now, 9-1 at Scotiabank Arena. It's unfortunate because it has been really nice to just never see a loss here. And so it's a little jarring. But, again, you just got to give a lot of credit to the Heat. And, you know, these things are just learning moments, right? Like, ultimately speaking, it's nothing against Kyle or Pascal or anybody's character or whatever. It's not against Nick Nurse. You know, just because they lose, it doesn't mean they're terrible, and it's just when they win, they're amazing. What this does, though, is I think you're able to be a lot more honest about your team, and you get to learn a lot more when you lose some of these games and get out-schemed and get beat by some legitimately good teams with some very, very smart coaches and very talented players. And this way you can at least, you know, plan and see what you got to do as a team, where you got to improve, what you got to do differently, you know, and just spark some urgency in the team. Like, honestly, you don't learn anything when you go up by 40 against at halftime against the Jazz. Like, you just don't. You know, like you don't, there's nothing to take away from that. And you know, you can get complacent, you get relaxed. Obviously, you play trash against Orlando, really, but the defense bails you out, so you survive there. You know, you kind of need one of these games once in a while just to sort of, like, slap you in the face and just go, all right, we got to shape up this, this, and this, and this. And really, if you're Nick Nurse, you got to, well, one, you got to make sure Pascal knows. I'm not sure you got to talk to him, but you got to make sure he knows. You cannot have games like this. You cannot approach games like this. You may be able to finish games because they're, whatever, they're trapping, they're neutralizing, they're doing whatever to you, and you're missing shots. That's okay. That's one thing. What you cannot do is just basically back away. And that's something that Pascal needs to understand. Sorry about the banging in the background. They're putting this arena away so that they can play hockey in here later. You just cannot allow him to turn this into a habit. It would be terrible. If this becomes a habit, for example, the Raptors as a playoff team will suffer because, as we have learned, if you don't have a number one guy who's able to create things in the playoffs, like, and definitely someone who shrinks in the spotlight, you're just not going to go very far, period. You know, that's one of the biggest things that changed about the team when you went from DeRozan to Kawhi, you know? So hopefully you see Pascal become more aggressive and just adopt a slightly different mentality in these tougher games. Again, he hasn't experienced this role before in this kind of stakes, so he needs to learn now in the regular season in these 82 practices so that in the playoffs it doesn't, you know, happen. But we'll keep a close eye on that. I think, you know, for Nick, he also needs to figure out how he's going to manage his rotation just a little bit, just because I think the bigs are kind of, you know, whatever. Like, you know, Boucher is now the third center. He's not going to play much unless it's garbage time. And that's okay because you have Serge and you have Mark, and those two guys are good. So that's okay. And you know what Fred's going to do. You know what Pascal's going to do. Really, it's just about the backcourt right now, the minutes. How do you get the most production from Norm, from Kyle, from Fred, and even from a guy like Terrence Davis? You know, what are the combinations that work? You know, what are the plays that work for the specific backcourts out there, and how do you balance the offense? And they're all smart guys. They'll figure it out. That's something to figure out. And also, like, I don't know, man. If you're Nick, you might also have to double think. Like, hey, am I going to trap every single guard out there? Because, I don't know, maybe if you don't trap Jimmy Butler to start the game, maybe he goes off for a little bit. Maybe he goes off for 30. But maybe the rest of the team doesn't get into a rhythm. You know, these are things that you can second guess after the game. And it's not fair for me to do that. I'm not criticizing for him that. But it's just something you just wonder. You know what I mean? Like, am I going to become predictable in terms of how I defend some of these guys? Because I think what has made the Raptors really good, and part of why the Raptors defensively have been really good, is that Nick has been really unpredictable. You just don't know. Maybe he'll play a triangle in two. You just have no idea what he's going to do from moment to moment. And I think that's, you know, been a benefit to the Raptors. I think in this case, the Heat definitely came in prepared, definitely came in expecting Jimmy Butler to get doubled. And they were able to leverage that for open shots pretty much all night. So these are just things to think about. But ultimately, it's a loss, whatever, it happens. And the Raptors got to pick up the pieces and play against Houston, which is going to be real tough on Thursday. So we'll see how that goes. In terms of your three stars tonight, I'm giving the first start to Norman Powell, 23 points, 8 rebounds, an assist, a steal, 8 of 14 from the field, 4 of 8 from deep, including 2 threes, 1 from each corner in the end of the fourth quarter that almost gave the Raptors an advantage. You know, Jimmy Butler immediately comes back and draws a foul and splits a pair of free throws, and so that was tough, and so the game went to overtime. But, you know, Norm stepped up. He had a layup in overtime as well. I'm not sure if he needed to get more of the offense or have basically more control of the offense in overtime, because I'm not sure he's as effective on the ball as he is for playing off the ball. But, you know, there's a case to be made. It's not like anyone else had much going for them. I wouldn't have minded seeing Powell take more control of the offense, but realistically, that's not his role. His role is to finish, not to create. But, you know, Norm today was great, man. 34 minutes, 23 points, that's and 8 rebounds, too, which is pretty good for Norm these days. You know, if Norm can maintain this rhythm off the bench, too, that'd be amazing, amazing, amazing. Second star, I'm giving that to Fred VanVleet. I thought he was solid. 19 points in 43 minutes. 5 of 16 shooting is not the prettiest, but got to the line for 7 free throw attempts. Had 6 assists, got 3 steals. You know, Fred was okay. He was okay. Like, he wasn't his best game. We've seen him play better games, but he was still productive throughout. He still took good shots for the most part, kept the offense running for the most part. You know, even with the assists, even though he only had 6 of Kyle Lowry's 11, I actually felt like Fred ran the offense better, weirdly enough. So he gets the second star. And then third star for me is Serge Ibaka, 13 points, 9 rebounds, 4 of 8 shooting from the field, 2 of 3 from deep, 22 minutes. You know, he gave the Raptors a spark in the second half there. I'm not worried about Serge whatsoever. Like, I don't think he's going to disrupt anyone's rhythm. You know, he's obviously going to knock Boucher to the bench, but Serge is good. Like, he really is really good, and he's very productive. He was able to hit some jumpers today, which is nice to see. And, yeah, I mean, you know, him and Fred have a bit of chemistry now. I like that. And when you have Serge and Norman scores off the bench, if both those guys are going, you're probably going to win most of those games. It's just the starting five wasn't working well tonight. So those are your three stars. I mean, in terms of your KFC bucket of the game, this is going to be real tough. This is going to be real tough because there weren't a lot of great bits of offense there. So I'm going to give it to Serge on a putback. So I forget who stepped to the free throw line. Maybe it was Rondé. Yeah, I think it was Rondé. He came short on a free throw, and Norm jumped into the lane, got the rebound. He was fighting with, like, 3 guys on the Heat, and you know the Heat are just, like, tough SOBs, and they're just going to swarm and be physical. And Serge wrestled the ball away from the 3 of them, like, swung his elbows around, you know, he ultimately got fouled by Olenek. So, I mean, oh, man, this is really a character, a reflection of the game. The KFC bucket of the game is getting fouled by Serge. But honestly, I thought that was a nice play by Serge. I thought it was going to be a momentum turner, but it felt like, I think Miami hit a shot right after that. I think Winslow or something. So it was not necessarily the momentum turner it could have been. But, hey, man, listen, this is a tough night. The Raptors shot 38% from the field and 11 of 43, which was 26%. From the three-point arc. So, you know, there's not a lot of great baskets to pick from. And then in terms of your Gerald Henderson Award, that's got to go. It's got to go to Duncan Robinson. I was watching this guy shoot before the game. Yo, this guy is – he can definitely shoot. He was really stroking it. And really, he got so hot, and he shot 6 of 9 from deep and 8 of 11 from the field. But he got so hot that he started being effective as a backdoor cutter just because the Raptors are sort of playing him to come up top and shoot the ball, and they're trying to deny him. And at those moments, you know, Robinson will make smart backdoor cuts, you know, with a beat on the defense and able to get to the layup and everything like that. He was great today. He was really, really good. 22 points in 27 minutes for Duncan Robinson. He really did play like Tim Duncan plus you know, David Robinson combined tonight. He was quite good. And he is a really nice shooter. And he's undrafted. And, you know, the Heat, you know, they got him. You know, he played up through the G League system. And the Heat, honestly, are very Raptors-esque in the way they built the team. When you look at the roster and you look at the talent, it's not supposed to be as good as 15-5. But they got a great coach. They got a great system. They got a great development staff. And these are the results. And then in terms of your Pat Patterson Award, unfortunately, Pascal, that's got to go to you. I mean, it's not even the numbers aren't even that bad. 15-12 is not that bad, but realistically, man, Pascal just like didn't step up to the plate when the Raptors needed him to, and I'm sure he'll do better in the future. So that does it for the podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. Thanks everyone for watching on YouTube. Look out for Run It Back with me and Alex coming out tomorrow on Wednesday. It might be more upbeat than this podcast. I think that's for sure. I definitely recorded it before this podcast, so there was a lot more to be optimistic about. But, I mean, realistically, man, losses are going to happen. The Raptors are 15-5. Maybe just, you know, if you find yourself feeling really beat down by this loss, just like, I don't know, just search Toronto Raptors NBA Championship, look at a couple photos, and then look at the ESPN standings and just see, like, yeah, you know, things are okay. Things are okay. The Raptors got things to work on. They're not a perfect team. But that's why you may have 82 practices. So thanks everyone for listening. Thanks for watching on the YouTube page on Yahoo Sports Canada. Look out for Run It Back. Yeah, I'll be back on Thursday to recap the Rockets game.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.